Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 16. Now, interesting, David Pawson said in his book Unlocking the Bible about this text, faith can be defined as the right response to the word of God. So Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then all approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for Andrew as he comes to preach. Lord, we thank you that Andrew is a man who does approach your throne of grace, who knows your grace in his life, your mercy, and for your help and strength. And so we pray that whatever he has been given to say, we will take to our hearts and we will respond with faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oops, I better switch myself. Am I on, Steve? Great, thank you. We're actually doing a series at the moment of what it means to be a part of Holy Trinity Church. I've had some amazing sermons already, and I would definitely point you in the direction of the website if you've not heard Shirley's from last week about generosity. Absolutely excellent. Rachel and myself listened to it last night. Crown or Shirley, we thought, oh yeah, you have to go with Shirley. But we watched The Crown afterwards, actually. We put you first, though, Shirley. And Marilyn's sermon was just absolutely amazing about speaking about the community of the church, and I recommend you listen to that. I actually thought that Marilyn's sermon fitted very well into a little bit what I'm saying today, and perhaps my easiest option would have been just to play Marilyn back. But the leadership team wouldn't let me get away with that. So we're looking at making disciples of all this morning. You've been given a sheet as well as you came into church, and please take that away with you. Don't look at it now, but I will refer to it again right at the very end. And the things that's on that sheet, we have like a fourfold sort of expectation, if you like, of how people that are members of Holy Trinity sort of engage with each other and with the church. Worship on a Sunday, a worshiping community, which Marilyn spoke into, is essential. And it's great that you're here this morning. But actually, we also have three other things as well. Join a mission team, join a small group, and join a discipleship triplet. Are you okay putting those up, Heather, those slides? And we have this strap line that will come up as well. And please get that strap line in your head. This is what Trinity is all about, living for Jesus in our community. And then this fourfold part of being a part of Trinity, worship on Sundays, join a mission team, join a discipleship triplet, join a small group. And our website has a list of why we exist. So again, please look at our website's great. It tells you what you should be doing. Our website has a list of why we exist. The first statement says, very first statement, we believe we exist as a church so that others find Christ and are discipled. Okay? That's the first thing that we put down. That's how important we feel discipleship is. Being discipled and discipling others is something that we value highly at Trinity. Church should be the gathering of disciples. These two words don't exist in the dictionary, and if you put them up, Word has all sorts of problems with them. But we're either disciplers or disciplees. Get that? Disciplers, in other words, we're discipling other people. Disciplees, we are being discipled. And actually, that's true of every one of us. We are both those things, okay? We are disciplers, we disciple others that come to faith, who are under our care, but we are also being discipled. That's true of every single one of us. It's true of Shirley, it's true of me. We never stop being discipled. To be a disciple of Jesus is to live a life with him and learn from him. And actually, the best way to get to know what a disciple is to read the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles. And actually, when you do that, have a concordance open, if you like, and just go through the word disciple. And the Gospels are all about, is all about being a disciple. Being discipled, being a disciplee. It's all about the disciples, isn't it, the Gospels? You take away the story of the birth of Jesus, and by about the fourth chapter of every single Gospel, you're right in there with the disciples of Jesus, and that's what it's all about. The Gospels are about the disciples being trained. And the Acts of the Apostles is them doing what Jesus trained them to do. If you're coming along to Oasis, John Mark Comer speaks all about this. So please, if you've not listened to the ones that have happened already, you can go on to Mark Comer's website. He has a whole array of talks that he does on practicing the way of Jesus. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were learning and practicing the way of Jesus. That's what a disciple is, learning and practicing. So I recommend coming along to Oasis. It's a fantastic Bible study that John Mark gives. It's a very engaging Bible teacher. And he talks about us being an apprentice of Jesus. That's another word for a disciple, if you like, an apprentice. One who learns and follows. One who learns, one who follows, one who learns, one who practices. Now, the Gospels is about the disciples learning. Acts of the Apostles is about them putting it into practice. So you've got to keep those two things all the time when you're thinking about discipleship. And disciples was a key thing in first century. Jesus didn't invent discipleship. It was something that was already in the psyche of people in first century Israel and beyond. So there was disciples of the Pharisees. You hear that in the Gospels, that the Pharisees had disciples that followed them. The Jews were disciples of Moses. John the Baptist had disciples. Greek philosophers had disciples. That's really where the word came from, and we'll come back to that in a little bit later. So disciples wasn't a new concept in first century Jerusalem and Israel. Somebody that I've just started reading, because I'm reading The Dark Night of the Shed, because I've sort of reached that sort of mammal stage of my life where we look forward to having a shed, us men, and sort of finding that solitude. And anyway, that's another story. But anyway, I'm reading his book, and he speaks about discipleship as well. And Nick Page was saying that the word disciple does come from a Greek root, and the word is mathetes, or from the root word mathano, which the root of that word is to learn. again, okay, to learn. Not just a theoretical learning, but a personal whole life commitment. Just get that in your head. Not just a theoretical learning, but a personal whole life commitment. The word was used to indicate a learner or apprentice who learnt by imitation. The goal was to turn yourself into as close a replica of your teacher, master, rabbi as you could possibly be. The goal was to turn yourself into as close a replica of your teacher, master, rabbi. For Jesus, the role of a disciple was to follow him and to do the things he did. And Jesus himself said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. That's words from Jesus in Luke 6, verse 40. Being a disciple of Jesus involves personal allegiance to him. And I guess one thing that we need to say is, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to commit our allegiance to him. And there might be some of you here that think, you know, what's this guy talking about, disciple? And actually, you've got to begin to follow Jesus. You've got to ask Jesus into your life. And you do that by coming to him and asking him into your life. Jesus committed his life in order that you might have life. So if you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, that's the first step. And then, for the rest of us, it involves personal allegiance to him from the day you turn from darkness to light to take that journey with Jesus. A.W. Tozer, great theologian and writer, talks about true faith being active, not passive. Some, he actually says the majority, some believers settle for baptism, church membership and fellowship, and therefore never know life to the full. They have an inadequate concept of Christianity and an imperfect understanding of the revolutionary character of discipleship. And I think that can often be true. It's great having this, our first thing on that slide is worship on Sundays, and it's great to have you here on Sunday. That's part of our discipleship, if you like. We meet together and we come under God's word. But actually, it's not enough to be baptized, to be a church member, and to have fellowship with other Christians. We need to understand that Christianity involves discipleship. If we allow the teachings of Jesus to dominate all our life, that's what will bring life to the full. And you might be saved if you're in church, but are you living life to the full? The only way to do that is to completely commit your life to Jesus and follow him. An apprentice is taught by the master to carry on his work. The work of the apprentice will have the mark of the master. That wasn't true of sort of the learning apprentices. That was true of whether you were following someone. If you were an apprentice to Michelangelo, then you had the mark of his artistry if you were his apprentice. People knew who you were an apprentice to. Do we have the mark of our master? Ultimately, the mark of the master is the mark of the cross. And I'd love to actually bring the big cross down now and just put it here. Ultimately, the mark of the master is the mark of the cross. Do we have the mark of our master? Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. No one can follow me unless they take up their cross. Is your God nice? Are you comfortable? Do you want to be safe? be a disciple of Jesus is not to be comfortable. The call of the disciple of Jesus is to step outside our comfort zone. Jesus said, "No one can follow me unless they take up their cross." Look at the 12 apostles and what Jesus' expectation from them was. To be a disciple of Jesus is to become more like Jesus and do what Jesus did. And Jesus' whole life was about the cross. From the moment he stepped out of the River Jordan with John the Baptist, he looked towards Jerusalem and the cross. To be a disciple of Jesus is to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. It's about living for Jesus in our community. Or actually living as Jesus in our community. Again, Nick Page in his book, he says, "Don't worry about what people think of you. Worry about what they think of Jesus when they meet you." I think that's a fantastic sentence. Don't worry what people think of you. Worry about what they think of Jesus when they meet you. Do we carry the mark of Jesus around with us? The call of discipleship from Jesus is costly and not comfortable. In your Christian life, if there isn't an element of challenge, we have to ask ourselves, are we truly following Jesus? To be true followers of Jesus is to live outside our comfort zone. We should all be disciples and we should all be discipling others. If you look at the disciples in the New Testament when they were called, they started to disciple without really knowing it as soon as they became disciples. You think of Andrew. Andrew was called to be a disciple and he went straight to Peter and asked him to follow Jesus. Philip was called to be a disciple and immediately he went to Nathanael and asked him to follow Jesus. When we come to Jesus, it's all about making disciples as well as being a disciple. And Andrew and Philip knew that from the word go. So what did the master do? What did Jesus do that we need to imitate, that the disciples imitated? Obviously, we could have a massive list this morning, but I'm just mentioning a few key ones. What did Jesus do? He preached good news to the poor, proclaimed freedom for the prisoners, released the oppressed. He healed the sick. He preached the good news of the kingdom. He prayed. He loved the sinner. What did Jesus teach his disciples? He taught them to pray. He taught them to know scripture and what it means to act on it correctly. He said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He taught them to know scripture, but not just to know it, to act on it. He taught them to care for the poor. He taught them to lose their life. He taught them to love, especially one another. He said to them, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples." He taught them to love. He taught them to be fruitful by remaining in him. He said, on the last day he lived on this earth, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Calling of a disciple is to bear fruit, the fruit of Jesus within us. He taught them to heal the sick and release the oppressed. And we see that immediately in Acts of the Apostles, don't we? When Jesus had ascended into heaven, the disciples are on their own. One of the first stories in the Acts of the Apostles is about Peter and John going to the temple and seeing the man crippled. Peter and John had learned what it was to heal the sick. And they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And a disciple of Jesus never stops being a disciple of Jesus. We continue to follow if we are truly his disciples. We continually learn to lose our lives for him. So that was Jesus and the disciples, what the disciples learned, what the disciples did. What does that mean for us at Trinity? Well, I hope you see that actually that sort of fourfold sort of part of being Trinity fits strongly into this. That as a leadership team, we believe that these things help us to be a disciple of Jesus. Join a mission team. All that we do as disciples of Jesus has to have an outward mission focus. To follow Jesus is to make disciples, more followers of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are sent into the world. Being a follower of Jesus always involves doing mission. And it's helpful to do this together. The disciples did it together. Again, if you look at the Acts of the Apostles, they were very rarely on their own. They were often with other disciples ministering. And that's what a mission team at Trinity involves. I mean, if you look at your sheet later on when you go home, there's a whole list of stuff that you can get involved in joining a mission team. Alpha is a mission team. People want to get involved in that. Alpha is all about bringing people to faith, having a welcoming place where people can ask questions. Christians Against Poverty, CAP, the whole ministry of that is a mission team, getting involved in volunteering for CAP, visiting people in their homes with Jeremy, seeing them afterwards and caring for them. That's a mission team. Messy Church is a mission team. Open the Book and Sharon's ministry in schools is a mission team. Room service that goes out on a fourth Sunday into the care homes in Barnstable is a mission team. And the list goes on. Trinity Neighbours is a mission team where we go out on the streets on the fourth Sunday, knock on people's doors and ask if they want us to pray with them. And then the coffee morning on a Tuesday is also part of that Trinity Neighbours team. There's so much stuff in Trinity that you can get involved in. And you can create your own mission team. We're all about that at Trinity. You know, Simon used to say, if you've got a vision, put that vision out there. Collect a group of people around you that can become a mission team. Doesn't matter how many mission teams we have, there's always people out there that need to know about Jesus. Join a small group. To be an effective disciple of Jesus, we must study his word. I meant to say at the beginning that Ed read that amazing passage of scripture to us, but my remit was to talk about discipleship, so I didn't sort of exposit that word, if that's a word. I thought Ed was going to do it, actually. I thought, come on, Ed, you know, you do this sermon. He seemed to be really into it. But actually, those verses are about the word of God, aren't they? Let's just read them again. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We need to come under the word of God. That's how we are discipled. And actually, we all need to learn more of what Jesus expects of us. And the way to do that is to be part of a small group. We have all sorts of different styles of small group at Trinity. Some of them are a little bit more traditional, like the old sort of house group approach. Some of them are very short term, we have the Sian courses, like Life to the Full and Pure Gold, Life of Christ we've done as a series in the past. I'd love, if I didn't have to work, I'd love to do that again, because that Life of Christ is such a fantastic discipleship tool. And I think every single person that did that course has become a true follower of Jesus. Ed is one of those people, actually, and he has grown so much in faith, and he's part of Sharon's mission team in schools, that we need to be discipled, and you need to come under God. So that's one way of doing it. There's Precept that Marilyn organises, and again, they're just short courses, maybe 6 weeks, 12 weeks, that you can do for a short period and then move on. There's all sorts of different stuff. Again, some of the groups like Explore, they have a different approach and they use a lot of media. Again, just coming under God's word and learning from each other, being discipled, absolutely key is coming to God's word. If you're not in God's word regularly, not just in your own quiet time, but actually engaging with other people, as Jesus did with his disciples and the disciples did with Jesus, then you're not truly being a disciple of Jesus. Join a small group. To be an effective disciple of Jesus, we must study his word. Join a discipleship triplet. Accountability, prayer, and encouragement is what the discipleship triplet is. And I guess it's in the word, isn't it? It's a discipleship triplet. So it's about being discipled. It's about discipling each other, being accountable to each other, encouraging one another, praying with one another, learning to pray. A triplet of three people is a great way to gain confidence if you're not used to praying. And as a church, I want to put the challenge out that actually we're not very good at praying together. At our monthly prayer meeting, we maybe have a maximum of 20 people from Trinity when we're a church of 250. And certainly this Thursday, when we had our prayer meeting at Goodley, I mean, there was about 16 of us there from Trinity, but half of them were from the leadership team. So 8 people outside the leadership team in a church of 250, there's a challenge. And the second part of that passage, wasn't it, was about approaching the throne of grace with confidence. Approaching the throne of grace is a sort of way of saying praying. That's what it's about. Approaching the throne of grace is coming to God in prayer, having a relationship with God where he talks to you and you talk to him. That's what prayer's about. It's not anything sort of religious and special words. Prayer is about having a relationship with Jesus. And that's what the prayer meetings are about. We don't just talk to him. Jesus talks to us in our prayer meetings. He gives pictures, words. So, our challenge to you today as a leadership team is to ask you to become more connected to Jesus and a more committed part of Trinity. Let's do more than just be a part of Sunday worship. Join a mission team. Join a small group. Join a discipleship triplet. Be a disciple and disciple others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that when you sent Jesus into the world, you gave us an amazing pattern of what it is to be a Christ follower. And Father, I pray for myself. I pray that I would be better at being a Christ follower. I just pray that thing that Nick Page said, that I won't worry about what people think of me, but I'll worry about what they think of Jesus when they meet me. Father, help us to be better apprentices, better learners of you. Help us to engage with your word on a regular basis. Help us to pray and to seek your face, and help us to do mission, to go into all the world and make disciples of others. Paul said to the Corinthians, you are an epistle of Christ. May we be an epistle of Christ. May people see Jesus when they see us, just by the things that we do, because we are his disciples. And Father, thank you that you send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to enable us to do this. Fill us again, that we might truly follow you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.